Cast, Jeremy Hammond, Katie Rosalie, Alex.
I'm the guy that's rapping now.
Katie's turn to rap.
No, thank you.
Every week we'll switch off rapping. For $5 a month, you can get some really bad rappers.
Ballin' out white hipster stereotypes super. $5 a month.
Gentrification makes me funky.
Sometimes I do shimmy shimmy yacht karaoke. Ooh. And then when we get to the N-word, I say kitten.
You throw it away.
It's Gentle- white gentrification, hip-hop, what was it that you said before? I'm sick.
Okay, you know what? I know how to start the show.
Okay, yeah, Alex.
Who's sick?
I am very sick.
I thought I was sick, but I've been unpacking, and it turns out I was just sneezing because of dusties.
Oh, that's great. Okay, I was just wondering, like, how much... how much I was going to have to get off my chest today. Just to fill airtime.
Yeah.
Do you live with cats still?
I live with a cat I've lived with before, and I'm not allergic to it.
Okay. All right.
Tested cat. No, but it's just all my shit's mad dusty because I was moved in a hurry.
That sounds safe.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess we're back to square one. It's the premium episode. We're watching anime from 2002. We're discussing the events of the day. This week, the general election.
Yeah.
Midterms.
Well, and this will be coming out a couple days after the election, so...
Congratulations to new governor Andrew Cuomo. I believe in you!
Congratulations to our new president, Beto O'Rourke. That's what he's running for, right?
He's running for hottest guy in Texas. And he's already won.
Me and Jeremy came back from our time in Gainesville, Florida at the fest. And let me tell you, I was told by so many 23-year-olds with bass guitars, say, just get out there and vote. You gotta vote. I'm like, I know.
We all know.
We all, fuck. It's always just like some like floppy haired, just like dude in a stained white t-shirt like, you know, I just, like, I know we're having fun, but, like, I just gotta tell you guys, it's, like, so important that you get out there and
vote. Anyway, I didn't have time to change shirts.
Here's my song about a bitch-ass girl who wouldn't take me to prom. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Like, fucking even Mustard Plug did it, and you're like, et tu, trumpet man.
Well, Mustard Plug was interesting, because they did that, but then they also gave a weird speech about how, like, violence doesn't solve anything. And
you're like, shut up, Mustard Plug.
It had, like, a weird slant where you're like, who are you talking to, Mustard Plug?
Yeah, what are you trying to say here?
Because he was like, no Mustard Plug has some regrets. He'd like to get off his chest.
They had some speech where they were like, political violence from both sides is bad. This song's called Throw a Bomb. And you're like, all right, well.
And you're like, you're playing a ska show in the middle of a day to literal children. So
yeah,
I like hearing you guys talk about bands because you could just be making up the names and I would never know.
Well, Mustard Plug in particular is one of those names that just sounds like it came out of a generator where they're like, your initials, JH. J is mustard, H is plug.
We were watching Duck Ravine and they went on a whole thing about how abortions are lives.
It sounds like a band like in a made up 90s rom-com. Like,
yeah.
Oh man, hi, I'm quirky best friend trying to get lead character out. Come on, bitch, we're going to see Frisbee Diss. She's like, I don't know. I'm like, you might meet someone. Plus, I have to meet my boyfriend, hilarious guy in Hawaiian shirt that you don't like.
Dr. Cowabunga.
That's right.
Dr. Fishing Hats.
Never a lead actress with long blonde hair. Always quirky comic relief married to Cowabunga, dude.
I feel like what our nation needs now more than ever is cowabunga dudes. Where have they gone? Where
well, that's
have
what
they
Beto
been?
O'Rourke is. Beto is like the number one Dr. Cowabunga.
He's going to solve all of the issues pertaining to pizza in Texas.
Yeah, he's running on a platform of more pizza, tastier waves, and 20-year twins.
It will be a huge bummer when he loses to Ted Cruz, who is a cartoon villain made out of lasagna. It's kind of like, I mean, it really sucks, but it is hilarious that Ted Cruz has been in power for so long.
And there's nothing anyone can do.
No, he's unstoppable.
In, like, he's in the modern political equivalent of, like, a castle with, like, major fortifications, and you're just like, I'm sorry, it's Texas. There's literally nothing we can do.
He's like the T-2000 Terminator, where you hit him, but he's made of liquid, so he just comes back together.
God. Oh, this truly is the darkest timeline.
Well, congratulations to the Republicans.
Hey, congrats to all the winners out there. Way to put in the work.
And, of course, in case we are wrong, Alex, I'm just going to put in a clean one here where I say, Democrats.
Democrats.
Just cut that in later if...
Democrats.
Time to clock out.
Good job keeping hot sauce in your purses, Democrats. You did it. We were just reminiscing about that earlier.
Well, because I had hot sauce in my bag.
I'm going to die.
I dabbed the door open only to find... There, I have leftover jalapeno sauce in my bag from maybe months ago. And then I put it in Jeremy's fridge in case he just wants some later.
That's just what you do, and it's insane. I have so much sauce in my fridge that you just keep leaving.
Eat my sauce! Eat the sauce I bring to you in your anime room.
Okay, let's move on to other issues of the week.
Concrete things.
The main one, I think, is Red Dead Redemption.
Who has it? Raise of hands.
Well, Alex and I are both deep in it. Katie, have you...
I have been witnessing people playing it.
Uh-huh.
I have a complaint.
Speak.
Speak.
Speak on it.
There is too much in that game.
Katie's
Corner, video games, they've gone too far.
It's too much. It's too much stuff.
It's like...
They were right about Columbine.
Like, it's cool that we can, like, make a video game... so intensely immersive that your, like, horse's nuts are changing with the weather and stuff, but, like, is it fun? No!
No.
It's too much! No PlayStation 4 game should be two fucking discs! Especially with all that DLC! It's too much content! I just want to side-scroll, I want to collect monsters, and I want to fight them!
It took a day and a half to download it.
I don't want to learn about... The alcoholism and racism in old-timey cowboy times.
I resent that when my horse's testicle goes up into his body, I have to go and push it back out.
It's too much.
There's something
it should automatically come back out.
There's something very funny to me in how much joy the game seems to take in not being fun.
Yeah.
There's so many moments
cooking.
Where, like...
Listen, I love a game where you get to fish... And I feel like this game is punishment for me saying that out loud.
Yes, exactly. Because in Breath of the Wild, I loved hanging out in the fishing village and just spearing some fish and
I fished the fuck out of all fishing-related minigames. But this, I didn't need a whole game of fishing, you know what I'm saying?
Jeremy, what have you... Tell everyone what you've been doing in the game, because you have a very different approach to it than I feel like some people do.
You're just building railroads and shit.
So in the beginning, I got through all the... tutorial stuff and whatever, and I was like, maybe I'll play the real story, I'll do the whole thing. But then there is a scene early on where the wheel falls off of your wagon, and you have to spend time putting effort into putting the wheel back on. And it was at that point that I said, I am just going to spend all of my time shooting horses and robbing people.
Yeah.
Jeremy lives his truest life shooting horses. Animals who do nothing but help and love you.
This reminds me of a story you were telling Alex about when it was Jeremy's engagement party, and he was just like rambling about all those beheading videos he watches once a year.
All I'm saying is that ISIS are very creative in the way that they behead people.
You know what? To be fair, like, I remember, like, playing GTA 3 when it came out, like on the PlayStation 2 and playing it for real for 2 hours and then just giving up to run over people for like endlessly. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's what you're going to do in an open world game after a while. Just descend to the blackest depths of your soul.
Right. You're like kind of doing a simulator where you're a killdozer, and Jeremy is doing a simulator where he's ISIS for horses.
Yeah. Well, you know what, guys? Like,
I'm executing them for their crimes.
Instead of doing that, I've just been playing every anime fighting game, and none of them are very good, but I've been playing them. I've been playing the My Hero Academia one, and I played the Fist of the North Star one.
Ooh. Do the heads explode?
Yeah, dog.
Hell yeah.
People will be, those giant monster men sure be exploding in Fisties of the North Star.
Is it too late to do the ISIS cowboy character that we could really go into here right now?
Please do the ISIS cowboy character.
Go.
Join my caliphate, pilgrim. Salam.
Any more? Keep going.
I got a curvy sword for you, Buster Brown. Get on over here. You look at my last twice, I'll be putting a full sheet over your body.
Great. Okay.
Thank you for all the help, everyone.
You said it was your character.
Yeah, I did not choose ISIS Cowboy.
Yeah, that was your choice. Do not take us with you.
Oh, with editing? It's going to be good.
Okay.
All right.
We are having
events
fun.
Events of the week. Well, I have a Dark Passenger that's directly related.
Oh, is it? Do you think it's going to be a long one? Otherwise, I have like a semi-interesting thing.
Talk about that first?
Tell your semi-interesting thing before I read this insane thing.
Okay, you were there for this, but I went to the hospital last week.
Oh, no.
I wanted an X-ray for my elbow. And
that's
course,
right. I went with him to get his elbow X-ray.
Jeremy was there for support and to fend off the protesters. And that made us laugh so much we both died. So we went in and we waited for fucking ever for them to take a picture of my arm, which really doesn't seem like it should be a whole day thing. And then I finally went in the back room. So not much to say. Essentially, I've like had a hurt arm for like 11 months and it's never gotten better, which seems like a problem amount of time when there's very little improvement in almost a full calendar year. And it's getting in the way of my massive gains. So I went in, I took an X-ray picture because my doctor sent me there. He gave me a radiology request. And then because he checked a certain box on there, so like I got this picture. Me and Jeremy are leaving. Jeremy's like, thank God. I don't know why I came here with you. The doctor came and grabbed us in the hallway and was like, boys, you got to come back. Because I'm going to give you the X-ray. And so we walked all the way back with him, and he gave me like 3 films of an X-ray that I don't think a doctor has read, and they're just at my house now. Like, I don't know if he thinks I'm going to read them. I've like taken pictures of them and sent them to people.
Wait, so they didn't say what was wrong with your elbow? They just gave you the pictures, and they're like, bye!
He seemed like it was my idea. Like, he was like, we don't do this, but have them.
Wait, what?
I mean, it's your arm, buddy.
Yo, I've been having so many weird doctor experiences.
It seems like he was like he dressed up as his dad and was the doctor.
I got forgotten about in an urgent care.
Right? What the fuck?
I like. Florida blessed me with the worst yeast infection of my life. Thank you. And so
thank you, Florida. My skin is still fucked up.
So
Florida
I went tough. To urgent care to literally get uphill. Usually when I've gone in the past for this, it taken like 20 minutes tops. I get signed in, and I should have known it was a bad sign where it was clearly the dude's first day at the desk where like I give him my idea, and he's like, Leon's your last name? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, Catherine's your last name? I'm like, great, off to a great start. But I finally get in there, and they left me in there for an hour and a half until someone popped their head in there. They're like, oh, did you pee in something? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, okay. I'm just like, clearly, forgot, just like straight. And like, I could hear them outside, like, being like, oh, how's your week, Samantha?
What the fuck?
That was just some off-the-record cup pee.
I'm like, were you just collecting that for yourself?
We give the pee to the new guy.
It's just a thing.
We think it's funny when we give him pee, and he doesn't know what to do with it.
Well, I know.
See, I was
we
going
can,
the other way. I thought he didn't get paid enough, and that was like his bonus.
Yeah, he liked it. He knows like his job has something to do with pee, but we never told him what to do with it. So he just holds on to the pee, and then the end of the day we check, and he's holding like 12 cups of pee.
It was crazy because like no one was there. It was like the middle of the week. Like literally, there was no other clients or anything. I'm just saying, good thing that the winners of this week will make sure to take care and fix this healthcare system, right?
Woo!
We can really
midterms.
Go Republicans.
Midterm madness. All right, MAGA. It's a Patreon MAGA.
But also, again, if it turns out the other way, Democrats. Alex,
I'm
please
dabbing.
Edit this.
I'm dabbing. Again.
I'm dabbing, and you can't see it at home.
The Democrats won. Thank God we all got out and voted, huh? It never occurred to me, not even once.
Not until Pete Davidson told me to do it.
His heart is broken. He's the one who knows how to heal America.
Oh man, a 23-year-old got his heart broken after he bragged about his marrying his girlfriend for 2 months.
Pete, please come on our podcast. It would make our lives, please.
But also don't. Yeah, it's totally fine with either.
It's fine. He doesn't.
Do you think he was gonna? Oh, okay. No, this is a very interesting idea that it's a fan theory that, you know how people haven't been dabbing since around 2016?
Okay.
What if Republicans just made it illegal? Like, they took it away, and that's why no one's doing it anymore? But if the Democrats take back the House and the Senate, we all get to dab again.
No. It just went away. I know this is a bit. I'm shutting it down because...
If they made it illegal, we'd be dabbing more.
Yeah, it's cool to break the
law. If it changed anything, it would be illegal.
If dabbing changed anything, they'd make it illegal.
That's why it's so hard to get the registration to dab. It's just inconvenient.
Let women dab.
We need to give
more
people in this country a pathway to dabbing. They need a clear pathway to legally dab.
Okay, that's good. That's good fill in time we just did. What's the
good job, everybody?
I think it's time for the Dark Passenger.
Beep beep, all aboard.
Ribby ribby, buy the hats.
Beep beep, ribby ribby. It's your old pal, Christmas Carol.
Katie's new thing is she says ribby ribby.
Okay, so I was back by the hospital the other day where Alex and I went to go get his elbow x-rayed. And there was a truck out there handing out pamphlets. The pamphlet is titled "Born Perfect."
No.
What do you guys think? If you had to guess, what is the "Born Perfect" pamphlet going to be about?
About like how babies are not sinners yet, or some shit.
Alex.
Okay. Based on the theme of this week's GT, I'm going to guess "Born a Robot."
First paragraph. Foreskin has the largest amount of the highest sensitivity nerves of the entire penis.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, that was the funniest thing it could be. Oh, boy.
Wait, before we get rolling, because while I agree that circumcision, you know, is not great.
Is a choice.
I have a feeling... that this has some something to say about the Jews.
I just know I'd be getting infections.
You would, Alex.
I had a foreskin. It just seems like a trick spot to clean.
Yeah, you know your boy's getting infections. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Okay. Foreskin is two layers of specialized skin, making up nearly half the skin of the penis with vital functions, like the eyelids, protecting and nourishing the organ inside.
Go on. Do you need me to read it?
Wait. What nourishing is happening, though?
Okay. Third paragraph. Actually, maybe skip to the fourth, because the third one is gross.
The foreskin helps the penis smile.
Yeah, the third one is just about how much sexual pleasure comes from the foreskin.
Oh, damn.
The fourth paragraph. In 1877, John Harvey... Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
Say his name.
John Harvey... I already know where this is going. John Harvey Kellogg of Kellogg's Cereal first brought circumcision to America, intending to curb masturbation as circumcision.
There is absolutely no way that's true.
Actually, it's a little bit true.
It's a little bit true, but there were Jews in America for a very long time.
But he spread it the practice amongst non-Jews. Mm. He's the one who did it non-medically because it was like a puritanical like device to keep people from jerking it.
It's something for the goys.
Yeah.
The goys are back in town.
Most cut males must add saliva / lubricants to masturbate.
Cut males, my least favorite Mega Man boss.
Foreskin self-lubricates upon arousal the same as a vagina does. Let me tell you guys. Oh, no. I'm going to keep that to myself. Today, circumcision is a $1 billion industry in the U.S., a huge revenue stream for doctors and hospitals, including...
It's about big lube.
Sales of infant foreskin to the beauty industry.
It's the unsung part of the beauty industry.
Oh, I just saw who sponsored this.
Who is it?
Well, at the bottom, this pamphlet says, for Jewish resources, please visit beyondthebris.com. Oh, it's just talking about if you're Jewish specifically. Okay. Let's see.
Here's our website, and here's our Jewish website. Wait, so who sponsored it?
I'm trying to figure that out. Because this is actually not terrible. I'm waiting to figure out where the trick is here.
I mean,
where the trick is?
Well, because it's the dark passenger, so I'm like, where's the Nazi propaganda?
Oh, I mean, it's just a funny pamphlet somebody gave me.
Oh.
But yeah. there is a fair amount of overlap between like the anti-circumcision men and men's rights.
Think about who gets really into anti-circumcision.
Yeah.
I agree with that, except there's also a lot of feminists into anti-circumcision because it's about autonomy and consent.
Oh, yeah. That's not who these people were, though. I mean, like, I saw them. They looked like just like...
Oh, it does say born perfect, keep him that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, this is... Oh, and the back has male and female. Maybe that's comparing and contrasting the various forms of circumcision.
Okay, I'm okay.
Oh, I see. It says on the back it's funded by George Soreskin. George Soreskin. George Soreskin.
Anyways, I don't know. I think there's like...
I liked it. Big fan of this. I mean, just the title Born Perfect already.
Yeah, and there's like Michelangelo's David on the front. Look at David. He has a foreskin.
Michelangelo's David was all foreskin. And in a beautiful tradition that goes back to the Greeks.
I mean, this is like squeamish, but there's nothing on here that I disagree with. But, you know, except for maybe some bad graphic design.
Katie, what's your opinion on foreskin? How do you feel?
Unfortunately, I've been socialized to be a little surprised when I see it in the wild. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as long... Just, hey, fellas. And other... Anyone with a foreskin out there, just make sure you know how to hygiene yourself, because I
this is what we were talking about,
because you know, I have been with several people with them, and most of them knew, and then I was with someone who did not know how to clean themselves, and let me tell you, the first couple times I was just like, maybe, you know, it's summer, it's a sweaty day. Third time I'm like, your junk's bunk, your junk is awful, you gotta wash it.
I don't know how to say this, but you got bunk in your junk.
Yeah.
Ribby Ribby by the hat. Coming soon. Beep, ribby beep. Ribby hat.
Ribby Ribby, wash your fucking junk.
Wash your dick.
Wash your smelly ass dick.
I don't feel like I miss having a foreskin.
Yeah, I've never
but,
been
you know,
like,
maybe that's just how, you know...
We're conditioned that conditioned. Way, but, like, you know, I do... Sometimes I do think, like, my penis is not sensitive enough.
Do you ever feel like you're not getting enough pleasure?
Yeah.
You ever feel like you could be coming more and sooner?
Sometimes I'll just be sitting in the middle of the day and I'll just be like looking at my desk or something. I'll be like, I could be having more pleasure. There could be more down there.
Yeah, I guess like the people that would get really upset. I mean, having your body altered without your permission is very upsetting. But I will say, like, I guess like once it became knowledgeable that that's a thing, the people that would get really upset are like the people with broken dicks in the first place.
Yeah, it's the
it's
the same people who turn to things like anti-Semitism and jingoism and like these things where like they're trying to come up with some explanation for like an outside force that has caused them to suck.
Foreskin, no foreskin. Do you not see these paths are led to turn the worker against one another? We must come together with and without our little Jimmy hats.
But does that make sense? Does that make sense to you guys that it's like the people
well, yeah,
who are
like I mean, I'm not saying everyone is, but I do think there's a breed of person that would be like, I don't suck. It's whatever oppressive force. And
yeah,
so if
yeah,
you,
yeah.
So this is just like another thing to be like, I don't suck.
It's not my fault I'm worthless. It's because somebody cut my dick when I was a baby. I could be, my dick could be a fucking superhero.
A common one I would come off,
if I had a foreskin, that'd be at least another quarter of an inch. And I feel like that's what's holding me back.
My dick could be like that one girl on The Haunting of Hill House. It could be very sensitive.
The show you were dying to talk about on this podcast.
I haven't watched it.
I feel like it would be wrong to spoil it in the way you wanted to.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't talk about it, but folks, watch Haunting of Hill House.
It's really all right, good.
We should talk about the episode, because Carlos is going to be here.
That's true. I'm a very good Dark Passenger. I enjoyed it very much. George Soreskin. Okay, this episode is called A General Uprising.
Okay.
And so that's a bit, first thing you need to know, that's a bit of a play on words. If you like that title, stay tuned. So, we're down with our, who's there? We're on Metal Robo World. Goku has just defeated his formidable, Robo Boss, the Sigma...
The Sigma White Base or something. And then I threw up a little in my mouth. Yeah,
Katie threw up... from just watching the show.
Just thought you should all know.
The Sigma Force turns into a Megazord last episode and Goku kills it. This leads them to the big fight with who else but the narrator of the show. It's General Rildo. Now, we all love General Rildo's voice. He lets you know what's been happening, how all the characters feel, what's happening next time on GT. He also, it's just like confusing watching him confront Goku, because then you're like, is this like objectively what's happening, or is he just like, I'm pissed off.
On the next GT,
someone's about to get their ass kicked.
I'm about to beat that ass.
He's also, just to describe General Rildo's outfit, because I know a lot of you are not watching the show, and God bless you. He is a blue or like a steel gray blue character. He has Frankenstein bolts coming out of his ears. He has crosshairs on his eyes. He wears
crop vest.
A crop vest, and then like little undie shorts and a fat ass.
Yeah, there was a lot of shots of his ass in muscular. Calves and thighs this episode.
Yeah, there was some point where I was just like squeezing air in front of it, just like, I just want to touch his legs.
Yeah, you see a lot of like male under ass in a way. That's not usually celebrated the way it should be.
Well, and it's like his thighs and calves are so muscular, but then his butt's like very flat, and I just feel sorry for her, you know?
It's flat. It's flat and deficient. It's a general's ass. It's there to command, not do the heavy lifting.
It's a real statesman's ass.
Yeah, let's just say looking at his body, you're expecting a lot of swooping down kicks because the hamstrings steal the show.
And, you know, you're looking from like the heels up and you're like, well, I assume that that ass won't quit. And then you get there and you're like, no, it did.
Oh, when did the ass leave? I'm here at the ass's desk and it's just empty.
Did somebody like get hired to replace the ass? What's going on here? Because I need to talk to the ass.
Who's head of ass R?
That's ASMR.
I was doing like HR but with ass. It doesn't really make any sense. So he shows up, he's confronting Goku. Goku's being a real tough guy this episode. He's given like a lot of like looks like it's time to rumble type speeches.
I find Goku way more palatable as a child, because like normally these lines when we're watching adult Goku makes me want to like punch myself in the face, but I'm like, look at this scamp.
You know, he's 80 though. He's like 60 years old and he's he says he still talks this way. He's got to go back to school. He's got to turn his life around. They have a throwaway line that say, look out, Pan. General Rildo is more powerful than Boo. Than Boo? I thought the whole premise of the show was Goku gets like a nerf, not that the enemies get a buff. And then
it could be both.
I mean, I guess, but nothing he's done in the show has seemed like as powerful as Boo. Boo was indestructible, which seemed like a big part of his thing.
Yeah, and Goku hasn't even considered going Super Saiyan 3 yet.
He does most of the fight in this episode just plain old base coup, which is a Fighter Z term I'm bringing to the podcast. Base coup.
Well, I have a PlayStation now, so I'm going to be saying these things too, I suppose.
You have to. That's the rule. Oh, Jeremy got a PlayStation. It's a big week for
him. How I've been playing Red Dead Redemption.
I want a PlayStation. Send me one. I'm tired of watching.
Send me a PlayStation. Actually, Kyle Earth might give you a PlayStation.
Next. Kyle, give me a PlayStation, you goth bitch.
I just talked to him about it. He's getting the new one, so you might be able to get it.
Next time you mail Katie a knife, consider also sending a PlayStation 4.
A PlayStation?
Oh, damn, I want a knife.
So they have that throwaway line about how powerful he is, and then Pan immediately does not listen or watch the show, and she goes and punches him right in the mouth, and then she kicks him in the head, and then he falls all the way on the ground, like lying supine. His mouth is full of dirt. And then he starts talking on the ground without moving, just like, ha-ha, it looks like you got me, or whatever. And it's like, why won't you make eye contact with me? General Rildo, this is really weird. He tells them about Dr. Mew, his boss, who's the Lord of Space and is looking to turn everyone into a robot mutant. This was the conversation we were talking about saving for the show. Is a robot mutant just an android?
Yeah, that made me fucking annoyed.
Or a cyborg?
It's like, yeah, it'd
or
be a
Colossus.
It'd be a cyborg.
Colossus.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
the
I'm talking gibberish.
From the X-Men?
No, that's just some regular mutant.
It's so offensive
like
when you talk like
man.
This.
He's like
it's
metal
just,
and stuff.
Yeah, but no, because that's
spew
his mutant,
ignorance.
That's his mutant DNA that made him like
they
that.
They made him metal.
He's a metal oh mutant, just
You're
like
trying
the people in this
to show. Egg on my nerd rage, and I'm not going to take the bait. Just let me make my point.
But he's made of metal.
Stop
Ribby,
it.
Ribby, buy the hat.
Help.
Anyway, we're just gonna call them robot mutants because it's what they call them in the show.
It's annoying and I hate it. Someone come on the show and take my side one time.
I'm not take your side. I'm on your side.
You are a devil's advocate, Alex.
True.
I don't trust you. Or
you're the
you're
worst
more...
kind of white man.
Follow the money. I get my Patreon bucks from the devil. So General Rildo, he's fully on the ground still, and he has this interesting little speech that we actually paused for because it's so interesting, where he explains how the robots are taking over space. It's evolution, my dear. Why would we go from crawling to walking?
It's real
walking?
Manifest destiny shit.
And in the middle of
taking
it,
over space.
In the middle of it, we're treated to a little cut shot of him doing a Nazi salute.
He does a Nazi salute. I was arguing that it's like a general pointing, like a, over there, boys! We're taking over Lizard World!
To be fair, when you rewound and made us watch the second time, I thought you just found the noise funny. I didn't even see what
oh,
you were
no,
talking
it was
about.
Both.
I wrote down that the
it
noise
was
gah!
How is that spelled?
It's with G's, but it just doesn't seem like something a general says usually. What's the orders, general?
I don't know, man. When's the last time you've been in the army? Things have changed.
The millennial army is not the forces I served. Okay, so, this is a very interesting part of the show. So he's given a speech, he's lied all the way on the ground, and he says, now it's time to kick ass. Then General Rildo opens his mouth and says, another guy. But when he does this one, he shoots a green neon beam from his mouth that hits Trunks, which freezes him in carbonite like Han Solo.
Yeah, you got Han Solo'd pretty hard, my dude.
Exactly,
and
Han Solo'd.
He dissolves and then goes to Muse House, but yeah, it's so blatant that I'm kind of like
they're ripping off their own show a lot because Deborah had a stone spit thing, but then also ripping off Star Wars, which you can't do, and then even as like a show plot thing, they're like, where did Trunks go? And then he just tells them, and it's why are you telling them?
And also the Par-Par brothers spaceship looked like the Enterprise, so I'm like, what's going on?
In
nerds?
The Par-Pars were the Beastie Boys, so there's like no original ideas anymore anywhere in the show. They really just were printing cash with Dragon Ball GT for a little bit, and showing you other things they think you'll like. So he's frozen Trunks. Trunks is in carbonite. He went somewhere else. He punk slaps Pan, who lies all the way down on the dirt just like he did.
Yeah, there was a lot of horizontal moves this episode.
Everyone got tired watching the show. They lied down.
Lay the fuck
to rest.
Much like myself. I want to lay down right now. It's nighttime. Daylight savings is a bitch.
It's insulting. Honestly?
Daylight savings?
Daylight savings. Like, looking outside, I'm like, yo, fuck you.
Take it up with Ben.
It's 6:30. Are you serious?
I know. Why is it so dark?
It's, like, completely dark. This is fucked up.
I would like to speak to your manager, the knight.
I'd like to speak to God. you didn't think I knew his name, did you?
Yeah, we go to church together.
All right, we're getting through the end of this. We're getting through the end. Trunks is in a lab. It looks like a submarine, and that's where they send all of their specimens to space to see the good doctor. Rildo says that he can't catch Goku with his green beam, so it's time to go old style. And then he puts up his fist like he's an Irishman who's about to do dukes. He's about to throw some ham sandwiches with Goku. Meanwhile, at the submarine lab, Pan is breaking in because she runs away so she doesn't get turned into metal, and she's fighting a bunch of robots. She kind of slaps them all, and they go, whoa, 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 whoa! Yeah, and
the robots
explode.
Seem very inefficient.
They're not good at all.
And then she goes to get Trunks, and we see that old turncoat so-and-so fucking...
That Benedict Arnold
who for
Giru.
Sure is going to be part of the show again soon.
Giru has a big pin on his chest like he's Generalissimo Giru.
I keep holding my breath that they don't, and he just... They just kill him.
I thought it would be so
forever.
Cool if Pan just like blasted him to hell right there, because she could have done it. She could have done it. It would have been fucking sick. It would have been so good just to watch him get blasted.
Instead, things got wiggly and he turned into BB-8.
I'm a man who's been robbed of his pleasure.
Did you know that there are as many grains of sand on the beach and stars in the sky as there are nerve endings in the male foreskin?
Oh my God. I once had an old boyfriend go on a rant, and he was like, men are constantly shamed about semen.
They should be. They should be. It's stupid and it's gross.
Yeah, thank you. I think about it all the time. I'm like, I wish I could go back in time and like step out during that conversation, like be like, what's up, 22-year-old Katie? I got something to say. Shut up. bitch. Just like jump back in.
I'm just, could you just elaborate how men are shamed about semen?
Yeah,
just
he,
like
okay.
spilling it places.
Yeah, he's like, men are made to feel like their semen is disgusting and it's just natural and whatever. And like, you know, like it's just so unfair. And it's so ironic because this dude was so mean to me at the time.
You got
to
give him the Born Perfect pamphlet.
Yeah.
Like, it's honestly like, if you can't accept the fact that cum is gross and it shoots out of your dick and it's funny that it does that.
Well, he was basically,
like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
You can't live in Western culture.
Well, he was basically
he might be a redneck.
Giving me this speech because I'm like, please don't put that in my eyes.
He's just doing it while coming. Be like, I think it's great. So stop
like,
closing your eyes.
It's like, be more supportive. I thought you were sex positive. Men have been shamed too long. And I'm like, I'm
if it goes back in, I'll hurt myself.
Oh, Carlos is here. Let's wrap it up.
Okay.
There were some beams. There was some fighting.
So, there's only one thing I really want to talk about in the fight, which is Goku's fighting General Rildo this whole time, and it's just the General Rildo's ass show. So they beam each other back and forth, and it's generally uninteresting. But there is a part where General Rildo shoots his hand off.
And that's pretty cool.
Like Android 16, and it grabs Goku by his face and punches him through all these buildings, then comes back on General Rildo's arm, and then Goku's like, I love this.
Yeah, he does like, but he does like the meekest little smile, like he's Mark Zuckerberg at his fucking congressional hearing.
Ha ha, I love getting face handed. And then he laser blasts what's his head in the stomach, and it
oh yeah,
really
there's
matter.
Two craters. We get the first crater before Goku goes Super Saiyan, and then we get another crater when he goes Super Saiyan.
Right, and they actually bring back the Sigma Force base from the dead because he says he reprints them, but then Goku blows them up by just going Super Saiyan. And then the real thing you have to know for this episode, besides that Trunks gets transported, is that Rildo becomes Mecha Rildo!
Yeah, he sucks up all the scraps, and he gets hella gains, and he gets all buff.
He gets a mask.
He looks like a fucking Spawn villain.
Yeah, he's got drill hand.
He missed the
still no pants.
Opportunity to say this isn't even my final form, but like whatever.
They were hoping they have all these shirts that say I'm Mecha Rildo on them in a warehouse. They're like, we thought these were gonna take off. I don't know what to do with these.
Fuck, no. Put them next to the Ribby Ribby hats.
No one wants to be Mecha Rildo.
Ribby Ribby.
So then they go to punch each other. Rildo has a drill for a hand now, and it freeze frames, and it looks like Goku's going to punch the drill, and it's like, don't punch the drill. You're going to fuck up your hand. And that was the episode. So, honestly, there have been worse. How's everyone feeling?
Three out of whatever Dragon Balls, not as bad as normal.
It's seven. It's seven Dragon Balls.
No, it's not. Get out of here, Alex.
I'm saying it's out of seven.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, three is very reasonable. Yeah.
I'll go four.
I also, this had a lot of fighting in it, which I enjoyed. And also, Rildo's just so funny that I'm going to give it four as well. It's not like a good fight, and I'm pissed off seeing Giru again. And it's really so dumb and just stealing from other franchises that it makes me mad. But I love a good fight. I love a good face handing. So I'm going to go 4 out of 7 Black Star Dragon Balls. How are we going to end this one off?
Who's got a song?
Oh,
Katie, rap!
What was I singing before?
Rippity, rap, rap, was, rap, rap, rap.
I was doing Everybody Dance Now and you were going to break out.
Oh, I don't do that.
Okay, all right.
Jock jams.
Vote.
Get it out.